Go get it. Turn him one.
The Rodney Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until you get out of there, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rodney Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
Well, good evening. Welcome in. It is a Monday night, and we are live and on location here at Raymond James Stadium at the West Club, right by where the Holiday Store is, which is open this week from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. all throughout the week to get your holiday shopping off to a great start here in the month of December. Come see us. We are live tonight with the head coach, Raheem Morris, show between now and 6. Buccaneers Total Access is coming up at 6 p.m. tonight. And again, the shows at 6 p.m. all through this week are here on location, Raymond James Stadium, right off of Dale Mabry and Tampa Bay, or Tom McEwen Boulevard, here at the West Club area. Come in and see us. Come say hey to the head coach, and we look forward to doing that here over the next hour on the radio. For those of you that are not able to make it in person, enjoy listening. We're going to take some phone calls here in a little bit. All right, obviously on Throwback Sunday yesterday, what a battle with the Atlanta Falcons. Unfortunately, it does not work out in your favor in the end as the Atlanta Falcons come away with a 28-24 win. It's good to see you, and I know there's some disappointment here in the aftermath of that game yesterday, Coach.
You know, a tough loss, but it's one of those things where you got to figure out how to win those games, and you got to figure out how you can win those games and get your fans back and everybody excited all over again to go out and compete against people like that. So we look forward to the battles. We look forward to the challenges, and we certainly accept those.
You know, it's one of those things that you have said really throughout this season, 60-minute game, play to the end. We've seen that work out in the Buccaneers' favor several times this year. Keep playing in the final quarter. Keep playing in the final minutes. Unfortunately, the script was reversed this time by the Atlanta Falcons in the final 10 minutes of the game as they came from 10 points down. But it only underscores what you've been talking about. You got to finish, got to play all the way through to the end.
You know, we always grade ourselves on playing fast, playing hard, playing smart, and playing consistent. And at the end of that game yesterday, we were not able to go out there and play smart enough to win that football game. Too many penalties down the stretch, you know, too many little things happening as far as tackling. Some of our fundamental core beliefs not going the way we planned. But at this point, it is what it is. We got to find a way to get better, and next week can't come soon enough.
All right, so we'll talk some about the Washington Redskins a little bit later on the show. Again, we'll also take your phone calls here this evening. Let's go back to the way that this game began, and right off the bat, the Atlanta Falcons got the ball. They tried to move it. You were able to knock them down, stop them. They punt. They pin you in your own end. You're not able to really get anything going, and you have to punt. So on the third possession of the game, they finally get something going with a couple of completions, a Michael Turner run, and then eventually Michael Turner scores for a touchdown. So they get off to the 7-0 lead to start this game and to kind of take the crowd out of the game a little bit at that juncture midway through the first.
You know, it's something when you go out, you're always playing versus a Mike Mularkey offense. They're going to be able to move the football. It's just a matter of you know, holding tight and keeping them out of the end zone as much as you can. You know, but these guys were able to get in the end zone, and that second time they got the ball in that second possession, you know, with a run, you know, but we've seen things, and we were able to come to the sideline and discuss certain things that we were able to see that we could take advantage of in the upcoming series.
The good news for your team is the ensuing drive would be an 86-yard, 11-play drive that would culminate with LeGarrette Blount scoring from 6 yards out. He did a lot of the damage on the ground. There were a couple of other plays. Josh Freeman with a 17-yard scramble. He hit Mike Williams over the middle for a first down. But a lot of that touchdown drive was LeGarrette Blount, and you got the game tied.
You know, that's how we want to base our offense. You know, we want to start with our running game, want to get that thing going. You know, fortunately here in the last couple of weeks or so, we've been able to get our running game going with LeGarrette Blount and Cadillac Williams being a nice mixture in there. And Blount, you know, certainly got us off to a great start. He certainly got us off to a great, force to move the ball, and he helped us out that whole drive. He was able to consistently gain positive yards, set up Freeman for a short convertible third downs, and we were able to do those things and put us in position to score. And, you know, once the big man gets rolling, he's tough to bring down.
Yeah, there were a couple of those runs on that drive, one of them in particular at the Atlanta 26 where he ran 20 yards and ran through about three Falcon defenders to get it down for first and goal.
You know, he's a tough man to tackle. You know, and yesterday, you know, one of the men on their team that you can see that consistently tackled Blount well was Mike Peterson. You know, and all the others, you know, seemed to struggle a little bit with him. He recognized that weakness, and he was able to exploit a little bit You know, but they were able to capitalize and cap off and do some of the things they were doing defense.
All right, the game is 7-7. You hold them, they hold you. It's kind of a back-and-forth battle. Eventually, they would put a drive together, get some field position, put a drive together, and get a touchdown on a Matt Ryan pass to the fullback Mahaley out of the backfield. It was actually a third down play. They kind of stayed alive on a penalty against Gerald McCoy after a play. That helped them stay alive. And then on a third and 10, they find Mahaley out of the backfield and get in the end zone.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to, and I'm talking about playing smart. You know, yesterday you can't make those type of penalties, you know, to give people first downs, to put them back into a position to score. You know, right after the penalty there, it led to their third down and 10 big play that this offense is very capable of. We certainly had to defend it well. We just didn't execute everything that we need to execute, and they were able to capitalize and get in the end zone on that play. But it was one of those things that you got to keep going, don't blink, and keep moving forward.
Well, and the good thing is for your team, eventually you would bounce back from that late in the first half, and Sean Jones comes up with the interception on Matt Ryan, which this was an incredible stat. That was the first Falcon turnover in four and a half games, essentially, where you guys make the interception, get the short field, and eventually get the touchdown to Mike Williams to even the game up in the final couple of minutes.
You know, it was the end of the half. You know, those type of situations you always talk about, whether you're aggressive or whether you sit on the ball and sit on that lead and take it into the halftime point. They wanted to go aggressive on us. You know, Matt Ryan made a mistake. We were able to capitalize with Sean Jones making a great play. We had a nice coverage on that defense there, and he was a whole player, and he really gave him a great look, so to speak. And he was able to come up with a big interception to set our offense up, you know, after his dynamic return. And really set us up for another score and put us right back into the game.
Hey, talk about a couple of those plays. In particular, we've seen you run kind of that reverse, and you ran it a couple of times yesterday with Aurelius Ben. And Regis Ben gets around the end and gets you a first down down inside their 10-yard line. That was a key play there in that sequence to try to get 7 points.
It's certainly one of those things when you can get the ball into Aurelius Ben's hands, you know, whether it's behind the line of scrimmage or get it to him quickly. After he gets it, he's a dynamic playmaker. We've seen him on a short hitch that we'll talk about here later. Really explode towards the end zone. We also seen him on a reverse. We've seen him on a toss reverse. And we're just trying to get the ball to our playmakers' hands. And once you be able to do that, you know, let those guys go and let those guys play.
And then the touchdown on second and goal to Mike Williams, just the hard slant there. You were looking for Williams the first time, trying to get it to him on the right side. You go over to the left side one-on-one, and he's able to get the touchdown.
You know, if we're fortunate enough to get Mike Williams on any kind of a single with any corner in this league, we're going to take our shots at him. And he had two singles on both sides. One was a failure on a fade ball. He's able to come back and follow up with a slant. And we're starting to learn here in Tampa that Mike Williams is one of the dynamic playmakers on our football team, and we want to get the ball into his hand as much and as often as possible.
You know, I know that it had to be reassuring in a lot of ways, the way that your team responded there in the last couple of minutes going to the locker room down 14-7. You not only keep them from getting points, flip the field, get points yourself. That's got to give you confidence.
You know, it's one of the reasons it's so hard to yell at this young football team for making some of the mistakes they do make. You know, the penalty on Gerald, you can rip him on that when you can talk to him about it being a foolish penalty. You know, but the things that they're able to do in these situational football aspects of a game, get a turnover at the end of the half and then execute and score, you know, right there with 40 or so seconds left. Josh Freeman having complete control of your offense. We're able to call timeouts and utilize our timeouts how we want to. Even though we were down a few times, we had to use a couple early. With this Atlanta offense and the attack that they were able to bring to us, we still were able to execute, we still were able to get things going, and we were able to score and get this thing at halftime and really get this fan base going, because it was a nice atmosphere yesterday now.
Yeah, we are going to get to some of that here in just a second. Again, it is the head coach Raheem Morris show here on this Monday night, and it is something different tonight. We are on location, and that's a good thing, at Raymond James Stadium at the West Club. Come on by the Holiday Store, which is open right now, and it'll be open throughout the week. From 3 p.m. until 8 p.m., and then our Buccaneer programming on the Buccaneer Radio Network will be here live. We're here now, and then right after this program, Regis Ben will be here on the Buccaneers Total Access Show. Gerald McCoy will be here tomorrow night. It'll be a different player again on Wednesday. The Josh Freeman Show will be here Thursday, and then again on Friday night, a different player for Total Access. And again, Coach, we got fans that are here watching. We would encourage you, if you want to participate in the show, I believe we're going to let you write a question down if you would like. We'll take some questions from the fans here at the West Club. We'll also take phone calls, but I mean, this is quite a setup we've got going on tonight for the radio show, and Buccaneer fans have got a chance to take advantage of great gift opportunities with the Holiday Store not far from where we're sitting right now.
I have all kinds of distractions going on right now. You know, if you look around, you see pretzels, and you see people walking around and having fun and enjoying the atmosphere.
You see sale items over here.
Items on sale.
Uh-huh.
And all types of things. You know, I don't get a chance to spend a lot of time in here, so It's good to come in here. It's good to see everybody out, and it's good to see everybody enjoying themselves.
And, again, we encourage the fans, if you're out driving around near Raymond James Stadium, stop in here, see the coach, see Regis Ben after we're done, and check out the deals they have going at the Holiday Store. We will pause here. We're going to come back, talk more about the game with the Falcons. We'll talk Redskins and Buccaneers. That's the next opponent for Sunday in Washington, D.C. Stay with us here on this Monday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAEN, US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and TJ Reeves.
And once again, it's our privilege to be here at Raymond James Stadium for this special edition of the Head Coach Raheem Morris Show. We are at the Holiday Team Store in the West Club of Raymond James Stadium, right off of Dale Mabry and Tampa Bay, what's known as Tom McEwen Boulevard now, right out here just south of us. Got to see the former a great editor of the Tampa Tribune there in the press box yesterday, so that street's named after him. So look for us right here off the West Club. Come in. It's free. It's open to the public. There's holiday shopping going on as we speak. Great deals that are happening. We're live until 6 p.m. The Total Access Show will be on right after us, live here in the same location with Dave Moore and Regis Ben. So you can come by, say hey to the coach if you've got time here in the next 30, 40 minutes to get here. Same thing with Regis Ben after we're done. And again, Gerald McCoy will be here tomorrow night at 6 p.m. On Wednesday night, I'm told Geno Hayes will be here at 6 p.m. at the Holiday Store, West Club, Raymond James Stadium. Thursday night, as usual, Josh Freeman will be on the air and on location here. And then Friday night, LeGarrette Blount will be here. So that's not a bad lineup whatsoever for the fans to come and enjoy food, fun, the holiday deals that are going on, and check things out here at Raymond James Stadium. And again, obviously, if you're tuning in wherever you are, thank you for doing so on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll take your phone calls a little later. We'll talk Washington Redskins a little later. I see some Buck fans wearing the orange. I see the orange over here on sale for the Holiday Store as well. We didn't really touch on this in the first segment. What an atmosphere with the throwback stuff, the old orange uniforms on, the Bucko Bruce on the helmet. Everybody was given a floppy John McKay hat in honor of the coach, and a lot of the Buck fans put them on last night. It was quite a scene out there last night.
You know, it was a great scene, you know, but more importantly than that, it was a great atmosphere. You know, our fans, and they really came out, and our fan base was there. It was loud. You know, it was an exciting game. You know, we play an exciting brand of football, you know, and I really believe that's going to bring our fans back. It's going to get our building filled up a lot. You know, it was just a exciting game. You know, it didn't turn out in the way that we wanted to turn out, but you know, for the most part, we'll get those people back and we'll get those things back and we'll get those things going. But it was a lot of fun out last night, and I enjoyed it.
It was kind of interesting, too, at halftime. I know you were busy making adjustments, getting ready to play for the second half with the Falcons, but they honored John McKay, put him in the Ring of Honor. His family was there. Rich McKay, the former Buck GM, now the Falcon president, spoke. The 1976 team, a lot of those guys were there on the field. I mean, it was, you know, quite a festive situation there at halftime, and, you know, the Glazers are to be commended for the whole thing of honoring John McKay, putting him in the Ring of Honor, bringing the 76 team back. It was a neat moment last night for Buck fans.
You know, I talked about that last week a little bit. You know, it's certainly a credit to our ownership and what they were able to do and when they were able to do it, you know, doing it while their son's in town, Rich McKay, who also worked here, who's done a lot of great things for Tampa, so to speak, and bringing the Warren Sapp and drafting the Derrick Brooks and all those type of guys. And, you know, it was really a special moment, a special night for his family, and I was happy to be a part of it.
All right, so the game itself would resume at 14 all, and as you begin the third quarter, you get the football on the kickoff, and right away you're able to start marching, and you end up getting 3 points out of that opening drive. So you got points on the opening drive, but let's talk about it a little bit because you're able to move the football out of your own end. Some of it is LeGarrette Blount. He got loose for a 28-yard run. You had a couple of other plays. You got one to Kellen Winslow where he almost got the first down. Well, let's talk about that play right now for a moment because it was close to being a first down. You maybe could have gone for it. It's early in the third quarter. Might have been a replay challenge there. You've had some time to watch the coach's tape. Now you elect to kick the field goal. Take me through that sequence.
You know, first thing you had to go through was whether he got the first down or not, and whether the spot was right and all those things. And the spot appeared to be right. You know, Kellen stepped out of bounds right before he swung the ball over that first down marker. But it's 4th and 1. You come out at halftime. You drive the ball down the field. You're playing against the 9-2 Atlanta Falcons at the time. You want to keep points in your mouth. You never want to take those away. So you want to get the points, go ahead, and we're able to do that. So it was a great job by your offense, took a bunch of time off their clock, and now you got to go out and play defense and get the ball back to your offense, what we're trying to stress nowadays, and and really focuses on getting the ball back when our offense gets hot.
And you were able to do that. You were able to get them basically three and out. They had a penalty in their drive, but they, you know, they're not able to get anything going. You get the ball back. This was after a punt where you get the ball at your nine, and again, you're able to move the ball, get out of your own end. There was actually a replay challenge there where Chris Grimes had intercepted a ball, and you're able to get that play overturned on a replay challenge, or Brent Grimes, rather. Take me through that again, because it looked like it was going to be a big play for the Falcons, but you guys apparently saw right away on the replay, the ball is out, I'm throwing the red flag.
Yeah, here's the dual jobs and how hard it is to be the head coach and defensive coordinator. You know, you're preparing yourself for a call. You got to do what you got to do to get ready in case this is an interception. You're trying to review with the box. You're talking to your people upstairs, your management team, your coaches. You're getting those guys to review it. You know, one of the coaches screamed out right away that Jimmy Lake, so to speak, screamed out right away. The ball touched the ground. The ball moved. We got it confirmed by Mark Dominic. I was able to get my relay from my trusty assistant, Jay Kaiser. He threw it to me. I looked like Derek Jeter when I turned and threw that red flag on the field. And I got that play turned and got it overturned for us. And it was a good deal, man, and to get the ball back for our offense, let them continue to drive.
Yeah, you did continue the drive from there on, and again, a Josh Freeman scramble a couple of times, and then eventually LeGarrette Blount running. You came up again with third and short. You're not able to get anything with LeGarrette Blount on third and short. You had fourth and short there, up 17-14 midway through the third. How much did you contemplate go for it as opposed to punt it?
No, I didn't. You know, our defense was playing so well, and we felt like if we could pin them back, we'll give another opportunity for our offense to get the ball right away. And we were able to do that. But, you know, we got to convert third and one. You know, that's got to be the big deal. That's got to be the new emphasis of this week in order for us to become a better football team and for us to become, you know, considered one of the better teams in the NFL. You know, if you got to convert third and one, those are some of the conversions that you work hard to get, and those are some of the conversions that you have to get, and those are the ones that the good teams get. And until we get those, become this finished plan, this finished product, we won't be considered at the top. But right now, we're certainly working towards that.
All right, Atlanta gets the ball after your punt, and they're not able to do much with it, so your strategy worked. They punted back. You get the ball. You go three and out. But then the big play happened right after that. Fourth quarter starts. They got 12 minutes to go. They've got the ball down by three, and Matt Ryan throws his second interception of the game. You put some pressure on him, and he threw a bad pass over the middle that you're able to pick off.
You know, it was a little bit more stressful for me at that point. You know, at that time, you know, Corey Lynch is at the point where he's cramping up, so he has to go inside. And
he's in the locker room.
He has to go get an IV, you know. So at that point, we put Rondae Barber at safety. We were able to slide Myron Lewis to one of the corners. We put E.J. Biggers on the left corner. They come out in a different formation. So we got to throw Edward Mack in that corner. We got to put E.J. Biggers at one of the other corners in order to be prepared for the situation. Corey Lynch comes back out of the locker room, so we put Rondae back at corner, put Corey Lynch back in his position, and on that first play, Corey Lynch gets an interception, and he immediately has to use the restroom, so he's back out again because he was pumped with so many fluids.
The things that go on behind the scenes, but yeah, it was kind of like one of those situations where it's the timing is everything, because he comes out of the locker room and literally 10 seconds later is on the field as the play is about to be run, and he's Johnny on the spot for the interception.
There's no question. It was a great movement. It was a great ball skills by him getting his hands underneath the ball. You know, Roddy White slipped in our field. He goes down. Corey Lynch doesn't. Takes advantage of his opportunity, gets his hands underneath the ball. He gets the interception. And it was a great job by him, and it was great execution by our defense.
And you capitalized on the turnover. You alluded in our first segment, for those just joining us, that Regis Benn with a catch and run really sets you up. A 28-yarder, you get it to him immediately right out in the left flat, and he does the rest all the way down inside the 2-yard line.
It was just the things we talked about, getting the ball into your explosive playmaker's hands. And the quicker you can do it, the better you can do it, the faster you can do it. In this case, it was, you know, something that we call a stork. It was a run play called in the huddle. And we give Regis the option to do a stork, and Josh Freeman raises up and throws it to him.
A stork, like the bird that brings the baby.
Bird.
A stork, okay.
And Josh Freeman raises up and throws the stork pass out there to Regis Benn. He makes the corner miss, the safety miss, and he's able to dash down the sideline and almost get in the end zone and really create a big play, you know, off a run action play, off of a smart decision by Josh Freeman, and some of the things that this young football team is able to do. And it's becoming, you know, second nature for these guys, and they're doing a good job.
All right, so you have it first and goal, and you go to LeGarrette Blount with your jumbo package or whatever you call that. Jeremy Trueblood came in as an extra blocker. You got Roy Miller in front of LeGarrette Blount, so you got a lot of big guys in there, a lot of beef in there, but unfortunately you didn't get anything on the first down play. What happened on the first down play?
You know, we got stuffed. You know, Atlantis plays a pretty aggressive goal line defense and a pretty aggressive short yardage defense. We got stuffed in third and one earlier. We got stuffed in the last game on a goal line type situation. We run the ball up in there, and we get hit right in the mouth, and we get no yards, and we immediately go to our next play call.
And the next play call is an interesting one. You bring Ernest Graham into the game, you hand him the ball, and then he suddenly becomes a quarterback and flicks it over the top of the defenders to an open John Gilmore for a touchdown. Definitely caught the Falcons off guard. Tremendous play there.
You know, something that we certainly work on every week. When we talk about our goal line defense and the goal line execution, and they were able to go and execute the play perfectly. Him and Gilmore, he gets the handoff, he rolls down the side, he raises up, he throws the ball to him. Gilmore makes the catch, you know, touchdown Buccaneers, and it's a big-time deal. You know, we talk about being exciting. We talk about creating excitement for our fans. That was a great moment in the stadium. That was a great moment for everyone there. It was certainly one of those moments where we had momentum. We had things going in the right direction, and that's where we want to be, and that's where we got to end it from now on and keep it right there for us.
Hey, you call him Gilly to us, John Gilmore, all the time. He's got to do a little acting on that play. He's got to act like a blocker and kind of disguise what's going on and then slip behind him there.
You know, he really did a great job. You know, he executed the play perfectly. He blocked long enough to get Ernest to the corner, and then he's able to slip out and catch the ball. And he did a great job of his acting. He did a great job with his execution. These guys practice it all the time, and it worked in the game, so it was beautiful to see that.
Yes, and so that gives you the lead by 10 with 10 minutes to go, and here came, obviously, a game-changing play right after that. The kickoff return by Eric Weems that everybody has seen by now that's a Buccaneer fan, everybody's been talking about today on sports radio and whatnot. All right, you've had a chance to watch the coach's tape. There are obviously several guys that have a chance, unfortunately, to make the play and can't make it. Just give me your assessment of what you've seen now reviewing it.
Well, you know, we go down there and we execute. We get it covered pretty good. You know, we missed several tackles on that play. You know, I think it was 5 to be exact. You know, and the play happened and developed pretty slowly. You know, at one point, I think a play I thought someone stepped out of bounds and tried to hit the blocker, and he's able to cut back and he's able to score. It was not a great job of executing by us on our tackling and our fundamental core beliefs. It was kind of disastrous, so to speak. It was kind of a reminiscence of 2003 Indy when they ran that kickoff back on us. But you got to be able to bounce back from situations even when they do happen. And we weren't, unfortunately. But the team has got to, you know, get together and make those things work for us.
The ironic thing is the game in Atlanta, you flipped the momentum of the game with a Michael Spurlock play where he fumbled the ball, picked it up, kind of a broken return, and made a play and got you momentum and a chance to win. And here we are a few weeks later where the Atlanta Falcons, down 10, do the same thing in the second half, unfortunately.
You know, they were able to bounce back off our kickoff return. You know, immediately after that, we kicked the onside kick, and we didn't get it. You know, our defense came out and was able to stop those guys and get the ball back for our offense. But we got to go out and bounce back from that situation as well. And we got to maintain our three-point lead, which we still had. And we got to be able to finish off this team and not go out and get a three and out.
Well, and that's the unfortunate part of what happens. It ends up being a 3rd and 20. And again, Buccaneer fans know about this that have been watching the highlights and have been talking about it today. The 3rd and 20 long play to Roddy White looms large because, I mean, granted, there's still 7 minutes or so left in the game, but that's a huge play for them to keep the football.
You know, I don't ever want to take away from anybody else's execution. You know, and Matt Ryan and Roddy White did a great job of that play, but, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't have made that play in our traditional Tampa 2. And, you know, our corner sinks underneath the 7 cut. Our safety's over top of it. We got a loose 2 called. And we should make that play, and we have to make that play. So, but, again, I don't want to take away from what they were able to do and what they were able to accomplish. A great play by the Atlanta Falcons. And good luck by them guys, and that's a nice job.
And eventually they are able to move into scoring position. Quincy Black was called for a horse collar tackle trying to take down Michael Turner. That gave him 15 yards. It's still 3rd down, 3rd and goal. And Matt Ryan is able to find Michael Jenkins for the touchdown, and that puts them in front.
They were able to get 2 penalties on that drive. They got a pass interference on Rondae Barber. They had the horse collar tackle to move him in scoring position. Once they got down to scoring position, they went to a 3rd and 3. They go to a traditional speed out. You know, we're not able to execute what we want to do there. And, you know, the team knows coming. Barrett actually talking to the other corner, telling him alert speed out. And today he talked to me and they wished he would have told his younger corner, Myron Lewis, on the other side to alert speed out. But it's just something that we got to execute, something that we got to get better at, and we will.
You thought, and just so that we clarify for the fans that are listening to this on the radio and that are here, Barrett Root had basically figured out, hey, they're going to go for a speed out route. That's what you're talking about. Throw it quick on an out route, right?
You know, nobody knows these other, like, division opponents. And, you know, when the Saints play each other, and I mean, we play the Saints and we play Carolina and we play Atlanta, you know, we know each other plays. You know, there's no secrets about it. You know, we execute each other plays all the time. We talk about it all the time. And all our guys out there know it. So a smart guy like Barrett Root in our meetings, we talk about it in every situation. He's trying to alert his corners. He sees the offset back, you know, one way. He makes an educated guess that it's going to go to the offset back, and it goes opposite. He's not able to alert that guy fast enough. And, you know, that young man has to be on his details as well. But we'll get everybody to the point where we're as smart and sharp as a Barrett Ewed and a Barrett Rude and a Rondae Barber, and we'll be a better football team because of it.
All right, so there was still hope, though. 4 minutes to go. You've been in this situation before with Josh Freeman leading you back several times this year, and you start a drive in your own end. You end up converting a third down to Mike Williams. You end up converting a fourth down to Sammy Strotter, and I'm sitting here almost 24 hours later still trying to figure out how he caught that ball with defenders flying everywhere. He's falling down. Makes a great play on the fourth down right before the two-minute warning.
You know, it was nothing new for us. You know, we kind of just went out there and, you know, for me, I switched over to being the head coach, and, you know, I had a bunch of confidence in Josh, you know, leading us down there and scoring a touchdown and us winning at the last minute again, and so be it. Just didn't work out that way. You know, he was able to go out there and execute, you know, starting zone 23 and able to work us all the way down to the 27 of their scoring field. He threw the interception at that point, but, you know, a couple of great plays in between there. We had a couple of penalties that we got to get over as well, but he's certainly – a big-time quarterback. He's certainly a person that's going to put his position to win a lot of football games.
On the Strotter play, just say something about him, because that's a fourth down play, the game on the line, and he comes up with the ball.
And it's just huge. You know, it talks about the character of your team. It talks about, you know, the big playability, you know, how much these guys love playing with each other and how much they will put on the line for each other. And, you know, Sammy to extend across the middle of the field like that and risk his body and be hit, making a play at the same time for his quarterback on fourth down, it's huge, man. It's big.
Unfortunately, the very next play after the two-minute warning is once again an interception, this time by Grimes, and this time it stands. It was looked at by replay review by the upstairs official buzzing down to have the referee look at it, but the play stands, and it basically allows them to run the clock out and end the game, and you know, a frustrating conclusion because you were driving, you had plenty of time there to maybe try to get in, and the Falcons make a play.
You know, they made a play, you know, and it's a good job by those guys, and poor execution by us, and we'll get better at those situations. We look forward to those situations. Being in meaningful games in December is what we want to be about, being in meaningful games, period, primetime games, games where the fans are like that, games where the fans are excited about is what we play for, and there's no other reason to do it than to play in those games and to play in those type of games. You know, they're heartbreaking for players and coaches, and we got to deal with those things all the time, and unfortunately, we got to get over them a lot faster than most people. You know, today, I got to move on to Washington Redskins, and so do my players tomorrow. And we will, and it's next. Time for the next opponent.
And we will talk Washington Redskins in a little bit. That's the voice of the head coach, Raheem Morris. Again, we're live at Raymond James Stadium at the West Club. We are right by the Holiday Store. You can come and see us here for the next half hour on this program. Again, after we're done, Buccaneers Total Access with Dave Moore and Regis Benn will be coming your way at 6 p.m. And we encourage you again throughout the week at 6 p.m. live shows here. The Holiday Store open from 3 until 8 p.m. throughout the rest of the week. And live player shows will be here at 6 p.m. with Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We will come back with your phone calls. Also, if you're here and you have a question, scribble something down. We'll try to get it to the coach here in the last half hour of the program to pass it along. And again, we'll continue with head coach Raheem Morris coming up. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro, 727-461-4620 if you're in Pinellas, 1-800-596-BUCKS if you're outside of the area, 1-800-596-2827. More with the coach in a moment on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show rolls on. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Back in here on this Monday night with the head coach as the Buccaneers now get ready to play the Washington Redskins. Again, we'll be taking your phone calls in just a second. We are live once again at Raymond James Stadium. For those of you that are gathered here at the Holiday Store, if you have a question for the coach, write something down real quick. Pass it up here to the platform where we are, and we'll try to pass it along. Again, an overall thought from you for those just tuning in here on a Monday afternoon. A tough defeat that your team's now got to battle back from this week.
You know, it was a they're all tough, you know. When you talk about any kind of defeat, they're all tough. They're all tough to deal with, but it's what we pay for. It's our profession. It's the professionalism of each one of my men to come to work tomorrow and be ready to deal and be ready to move on and go to the Washington Redskins because it's what we have to do. Now, we don't play a large schedule, and they're all meaningful. And, you know, next week we'll be in another meaningful game, and that's where we want to go.
All right, and for those just joining us, we've not yet talked about the injuries to Aqib Talib and Jeff Fain. I know Aqib had to leave in the first half with a hip injury. Jeff Fain eventually left with a tricep injury. Do you have a further update on their status as it's, you know, wait-and-see time?
You know, we'll lose those guys for a significant amount of time and, you know, more than likely for the rest of the season. And there's no place for excuses. You know, those young men have to be replaced is what we've been able to do the whole time, and we've been fine with that. And these will always be tough losses when you lose anyone, but, you know, my team has to step up, and they've been prepared to do it all season.
So there's hesitation at the moment to do injured reserve while you evaluate, and you've got some time to make that decision. And it's a situation where you might wait on that, too, just to see?
You know, you always have an option, you know, and certainly we're gonna weigh all our options, you know, myself and Mark Dominic, and we'll get together. You know, we've been together today. We've been together later. I'm sure we'll talk about it at another point, and we'll just have to go out and see and do our best job with it.
All right, very good. So there's the update on that. Again, we'll take phone calls, and if you got questions here, pass them along to us. We'll get to as many as we can here in this segment with the head coach. We begin with Jay and Wachula. He is up first with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good, sir.
Hey, Coach, congrats so far on a good season. That tough loss yesterday. Got two questions here I want to ask you. First one, the 3rd and 20 play. How close did you come to considering to pressure Ryan in, instead of dropping into the Tampa 2? And second, on the short yardage with Blunt, again, he seems hesitant, tentative or something on those dive plays. He's not hitting a whole downhill. What do you plan on doing to address that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Jay, those would be pretty good assessments. You know, when you're talking about the 3rd and 20, you know, to consider blitzing, you know, it's somewhat foolish when you have that down in distance, when you can execute a pretty much routine play that we were not able to yesterday. You know, when you want to go after people with blitz, it's usually to encourage some type of pressure to make the ball come out quick. But most of the time in those situations should be a max pro look. They should be ready for protection. They should be ready for all those things. It should be a two-man route, and they should be able to have time to throw the football. You know, so if we had to do that situation all over again, you love to play cover two, or you love to play another coverage similar to cover two and do some different things there. But, you know, you can't second-guess those decisions, and that is what it is. I mean, we got to win those down and distances at all costs. And with the 3rd and 1, you know, we've had a couple of situations where LeGarrette was not able to pick up 3rd and 1 because he's not hitting it fast enough down the hill, whether he's reading it fast enough or whatever the case may be, and maybe have to explore our options on our football team. And we got, you know, a bunch of capable backs on our team that are able to do some of those things as well. We have Cadillac Williams that we always know can do all those things when you talk about going downhill. And we also have Ernest Graham who's able to carry the ball for us and do different things as well. So we'll explore our options, and in the meantime, we'll try to get Blunt better. But we have to go out and explore everything we can do and try to find ways to get better there because he's not hit it downhill, and that's the correct assessment.
Yeah, and there's obviously other guys that have shown that in the past and the ability on the goal line, so you do have some options there with that. Back to the phones. Tom is in Spring Hill. He has been waiting with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's going on, Coach?
How you doing, Tom?
Pretty good, man. Hey, listen, I've been following the Bucs since I was 7 years old, you know what I'm saying? And it's a terrible loss what happened to us yesterday. But, you know, we will rebound and we will get the win next week. But, listen, here's my question. It's not a really question. It's like more like a statement to it. I'd like to know, like, when they ran that ball back for a kickoff return, what was the mindset going through you and through the whole, you know, through the whole team? I'm going to hang up because I really want to hear, you know, it really upset everybody, you know what I'm saying? But we will rebound. I know we will. So I'm going to hang up. I just want to hear what you got to say about that. Thanks a lot, Coach.
You know, you can't ever blame, you know, any particular phase or any one play during the game. You know, you lose the game because of a course of different actions. And at the time, you got to be mentally tough enough to deal with that and go out there and try to defend. And that's what I think the team was ready to do and prepared to do. We got a couple unfortunate penalties, and they were able to convert a 3rd and 20, which shouldn't happen, in order to set those guys up in position to score in order to take the lead. But the mindset of the team doesn't change. It's all about play hard, play fast, play smart, and play together, and be consistent.
So there were no special instructions after the kickoff return to the offense. It was business as usual.
It was, you know, the defense is just business as usual. You know, you got to go out there, you got to execute. And as far as the defense, you got to go out there and you got to stop them, you know. And you still have a 3-point lead. On offense, you go out there and execute. You make the plays happen. And we're not able to do that.
Again, we will stay with the phones. Here is Chris in St. Pete. He joins us here this evening with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Coach Raheem, tough loss yesterday, and, it was kind of heartbreaking and heart-wrenching to watch, but I was looking at it as one of these, you know, face-offs at the OK Corral type of things where, you know, the first cowboy to blink is going to get shot. And that's pretty much what happened. We blinked a couple of times, like you've already mentioned. And it just in those type of games, you can't do that. But we're learning, and we'll correct that. And I'm sure you'll get on it and get it corrected. As far as the injuries, Coach Raheem, it seems to be that you have a gift. I don't know if it's the system or just the players you guys are stockpiling, but you have a gift of when one guy goes down, the next guy comes up and he's ready to knock some heads off and do his job and not miss a beat. Could you kind of go into, your philosophy on that and because I'm a 44-year-old, out-of-shape man, and you make me want to go hit somebody when I listen to you. And, Coach, that's just your gift, man. And could you explain if it's more of the system and those are the players that you're stockpiling, or what is it, that magic that you're throwing out there, Coach? Thank you.
I don't think it's magic. I think it's a belief. It starts with us relishing the war of attrition, and that's what our game is. You got to go out there and you got to play in these games. And you got to go out there and you got to force your will and your opponent every week. So if you become the starter, that's who you are. And you got to go out there and you got to play like one. And fortunately, we had a lot of young men step up this year and do big things. And hopefully we can continue to do that with the injuries and everything that we need to do. I do like your don't blink theory, but I don't think we blinked first. I think they blinked first with the interceptions and the turnovers, and we capitalized. They were tough enough, and they won the war attrition that day and able to come back and get that win. And that's what we are. As a mentality standpoint, as far as how mentally tough we can be, how good we are. And I got a bunch of guys in my outfit that was in my locker room yesterday that wanted to go back out for a fifth quarter. But unfortunately, they don't let you do that. And we'll be out there again. Next week can't come soon enough. And we look forward to going in for the next challenge.
All right, real quick, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro listening to us on the radio, on the phones, 461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS if you're outside of the immediate area. If you've got comments, we also have the opportunity here for some Q&A at the Holiday Store at the West Club level here at Raymond James Stadium. That's where we're doing the live show. Mariah has written a question down, I believe in her own handwriting, and she wants to know, who was your role model when you were young? So there's something kind of off the path of the Atlanta game. Who did you idolize? It could have been football, could have been anybody growing up.
It starts with your parents. For me, I was fortunate enough to have both my parents staying with me and living with me and being around those guys and looking at those guys go to work. And I have to give my dad a lot of credit. When my dad lost his job, he was able to go out and get two jobs. He's able to go out and go to Lincoln Tech at night in order to work his way into becoming a New Jersey Transit auto mechanic. So watching him work and watching him fight and watching him be as mentally tough as he was throughout the process of us growing up certainly made him my role model. And then I was able to follow other guys and see their careers and their paths and listen to what they wanted to do and really go out and read how they did it and try to emulate some of my things and some of my life after what those guys were able to do.
From a coaching standpoint, when you started thinking about being a coach, who did you start then? It may have been two or three people. Who did you start looking at and thinking, I want to be like A, B, C? What do you think?
It's kind of funny. When you first start coaching, you think you're still a player. And you think you still can go out there and you think you can still do it. But I was fortunate enough to be around Joe Gardy, who was the definition of a coach, in my opinion. He was brutal honesty.
This is the Hofstra coach who you play for, right?
This is my Hofstra head coach, and he was brutal honesty. He hit you with straightforward facts, whether you liked it or not. He was able to give you lessons every day about life. He was able to give you lessons every day about football. And he was one of the guys that got me going in the right direction when it came to coaching football.
Great stuff here from the head coach. A few more minutes left for some phone calls. And, again, if you have a question and you want to write something down, go right ahead. We'll pass it up here to the coach while we have a chance. Greg is next in his car. Good evening, Greg. You're on with head coach Raheem Morris.
Hey, Coach. How's it going tonight?
I'm doing well, Greg. How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, just one quick observation and quick question. First observation, as a season ticket holder, it was just so great last night to be in that stadium and, feel that electricity, back for that, big type game atmosphere. So I just want to say, thank you for moving this organization in the right direction and getting us back on track. And my question, and I'll hang up so I can listen, is, after the last pick at the end that let them wind down the game, you went back and you looked at that replay, as a fan, I'm having a hard time understanding, when the crowd comes into play, what's a catch and what's not. You look back at the Calvin Johnson catch earlier in the year and it was incomplete. And then, in my opinion, when he caught that ball and kind of spun over, there's no doubt in my mind that corner of that ball hit the ground, and I thought they were definitely going to call it back as I was walking out of the stadium and saw the replay on the TV. So, you know, can you just kind of give some insight as to, or first your opinion on that and whether it was a catch, and kind of, you know, kind of clarify what makes a catch for some of us who, you know, are not involved in the intricacies of the rules within the league? Thanks, I appreciate it.
I'm chuckling because I think all of us are still trying to figure out what is a catch, what is not a catch on replay, ball loose, whatever. And there were several plays like that last night in the game, not just the last one on the interception.
You know, it's those are always tough decisions and tough calls, you know, whether the ball moves, whether the ball's on the ground, you know, whether the receiver came up with the ball, and all those things you got to come up and, you know, so you got to leave yourself open for some human error, and those things happen all the time. And really, my opinion, Greg, is not really important. They called it that way. We got to deal with it. We got to move on. It was an interception by the Falcons. A great job and a great execution by those guys, and we got to get better and grow from it.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things that maybe the competition committee is going to have to evaluate down the road, but that's out of the hands of the coaches, and the rules going to have to be looked at on what is a catch, what is not a catch, you know, holding the ball on the ground. And it seems, just to me, and this is me talking, that a lot of times it's inconsistent on how it's applied. You know, I know fans that were watching the game on TV last night or have heard about Mike Pereira talking about this. Fox Television has the former head of officials in the studio. He's looking at the Brent Grimes interception, and he is saying to the announcers, that should be overturned, that should be incomplete. Again, for what it's worth, that's Mike Pereira saying that, who used to head up the officials. So I think there's got to be a big discussion about what is a catch, what is not a catch. And again, that's me saying that. We'll move on. Carly here at Raymond James Stadium at the West Club at the Holiday Store. Carly says, during the game last night, there was a lot of trash talking from both sides. How do you deal with controlling your players from participating in trash talking and obviously maybe ending up getting a penalty? What about that? Good question.
You go, Carly. You always got to talk about playing smart. You always got to talk about, you know, not going over the top where you get the penalty. But you certainly don't deter away from the rivalry. That is the Atlanta Falcons, that is the New Orleans Saints, that is the Carolina Panthers. There's a different demeanor. We don't like them a lot at all, Carly, and they don't like us. So there's going to be a little bit of that. But you can't go over the top. You can't go over the edge. And we talked about it today in our team meetings. Gerald McCoy made a huge mistake last night. We got a huge mistake last night by Donald Penn. And those things can't happen. And we got to find a way to be smarter, to play better, to play harder, to play more aggressive without the trash talk, without the extra curriculum after the play, which we don't encourage.
All right, to the phones. We've got a few moments left. Richard is in his car. Good evening, Richard. You're on with the head coach, Raheem Morris.
Good evening. I want to say happy holidays and congratulations to Coach Raheem Morris and our entire team and organization.
Hey, Richard, thank you.
I have a comment and I have a quick question. My comment is, you know, everyone is so proud of what you guys are doing now, because right now, what I see the team doing is they're playing to win on every down, whereas there have been times in the past with the organization where people play not to lose, and you just can't do that. And I just want to say, you know, it's a great thing to see what's going on right now in this organization. The other thing is, I know this season is not over, but we want to know what you guys envision with the future of this organization and what they're doing, because, you know, last year and the beginning of this year, there was a guy up in the stands where I am that was Coach Morris's personal heckler. And right now, that guy is Coach Morris's biggest fan.
You've converted him. I like that.
You know, not that, you know, some of that stuff can't matter, but that stuff can't matter. You got to have a direction, and our direction last year started with Josh Freeman, which wasn't the popular choice at first. You know, I understand that. But I had a vision. My management team and myself, my ownership, all had a vision. And that vision was bringing a leader here like Josh Freeman to lead us into those teams where you can look like the Indianapolis Colts. Not right now, but you can look like the Indianapolis Colts that's going out and winning consistently throughout the process. A Drew Brees that's winning consistently throughout his process. A Tom Brady that wins consistently throughout the process and bring that longevity of winning here to Tampa. And we certainly feel like we have a guy that can help us do that. He's mentally tough. He's sharp. He's developing to a better player every single day. And then the next objective was to get guys around him like it really has been. That is very explosive and can make a play on a one-step hitch like he was able to make yesterday. A Mike Williams, a LeGarrette Blount, a Kellen Winslow. And surround him with players like that and then get him protected. And then the next thing for me was to get a defense that was going to be stable, have stability, and be able to hold up and be able to absolutely take advantage of their opportunities by scoring or getting the ball back when we have it. You know, and I know that was kind of a long explanation, but that's the vision that you have. That's where you want to go. And like I always tell these guys, man, our job on both sides of the ball, all phases of it, is to score, get the ball back. And that's why our mentality is to play not to lose. Our mentality is to play to win every single time we go out.
And this team has just grown and has built confidence and has rallied around you. I think it's obvious the way that they continue to battle. I mean, you're gonna bring people into line, fans and whatever, when you know everybody believes that you're going to get it done, and that belief has been there. You're not there yet, but that belief has been there so far in 2010.
You know, for me, I don't want to say they rally around me, just me. You know, I do say what they've done is they believed in what their head coach has been saying. And what I told these guys where they were the best, it was more about a belief. You know, somebody has to go out and be number one. Why not us? I expect everyone in this audience and everyone out there listening to tell their children to go out and be the very best self every single day. And that's what I expect of my guys.
All right, I want to take a couple of more questions from people here at Raymond James Stadium, and we got to pause and then talk about the Washington Redskins. I believe this is Viani. Did I get that right? Okay, and she wants to know, you put so much emotion preparing your team. How do you personally handle a tough loss? We wanted to cry on the ride home after the game last night. There are moments.
Where's Viani?
Viani's right here. I'm sure there are moments where you just you're frustrated. You're shaking your head on the ride home, right?
Viani, I cried with you. No.
Yes.
No, but it's certainly tough. You know, it's everything that you put into it is your life's work. As you go to work all week and you prepare yourself to go out and beat an opponent, and you feel like you have them down and you feel like you got them right when you want them, and they're able to capitalize and make a couple of plays and they're able to win that game. Those are definitely heartbreaking losses. But those are not losses that can create you or make you or decide what you're going to be that year. What we're going to be is what we're going to bounce back and be tomorrow. You know, right now, Viani, this is kind of my couch time. I used to tell people, I sit here and I get a chance to get it off my chest. And then once I get a chance to do that, I can move on and be ready to deal with the Washington Redskins. So I guess that's the easiest way for me to tell you that I deal with it is dealing with you guys. You know, walking around town right now and seeing everybody and everybody saying good luck and good job, coach, is an easy way to deal with it. You know, even last year, you know, everybody seeing how hard we played and you know, how tough we were and how mentally prepared we were to play each game in order to be in all those games. You know, I keep a laugh as people say we don't have a signature win. You know, if you ever played in this league, coached in this league, done anything in this league, you know, you know every win is a signature win. And we're very proud to go out and represent you guys every week.
Take them when you can get them. And speaking of the Redskins, we'll talk about them next in our remaining moments. Stay with us with the head coach, Raheem Morris. We'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Morris Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
Remaining moments here with the coach. And by the way, we can let you know there's a good crowd assembled here at the Holiday Store. A lot of fans getting to interact with the coach. You've signed a few autographs. They've got a great sale going on Buccaneer merchandise. And again, you've got the opportunity each night this week to come by here from 3 until 8 p.m., check out the Holiday Store. And, again, our total access shows will be going on at 6 p.m. every night. Dave Moore and Regis Benn are set to join us right after we're done here. They'll join you at 6 p.m. live here at the store. You're liking this.
No, more importantly, the cheerleaders are here.
Yes.
You got to announce that.
Lots of pluses. The Buccaneer cheerleaders are here. Captain Fear is here. Regis Benn is here. There's a lot of reasons to come by. If you're driving around in the area, come by and see us at Raymond James Stadium. And the coach is here for a few more minutes. And you were answering some questions off the air, too, for some of the fans that were here at Raymond James Stadium. All right, let's move to the Washington Redskins. That's the next opponent. As you were saying, you're moving on to play them. This one in Washington at FedEx Field, a team that you're familiar with because you played them a year ago. It seems like we played the Redskins a lot, even though they're not in the division over the last few years. And here we go with what is a huge game for both teams and any hope of that P word that we're not going to say yet, any hope of that. Both teams have it on the line at Washington coming up this week.
You know, what's funny is I told everybody, you know, you want to race to 10, you know, and I meant it. You know, Atlanta won. They got to 10 first before anybody in the league, and they're setting us up to talk about that P word. And until we get to that 10, we won't talk about that P word.
I understand.
But what we do have coming to town, going there is a tough road opponent dealing with the Washington Redskins. You know, you're talking about a team that we played a lot, a team that we know a lot about, a team that we have history with, the team we have former employees working for, and, you know, and Bruce Allen and Kyle Shanahan and a lot of common themes and a lot of common opponents that we know about. So we look forward to going out there and dealing with, you know, this offense and Santana Moss and some of the guys that they can present for some problems. And
obviously, Donovan McNabb is new to that situation. What do you see from him on tape that you got to go after?
Well, you know, Donovan McNabb's been a good player in this league a long time, and the one thing that he's going to relish on is doubt. And when people start to doubt him, he'll play better, and that's what he's done his whole career. So we look forward to going out and competing with him and being our very best self at the same time trying to get our eighth win.
This will be a huge road test for your team. You've passed road tests already this season. Weather may be a bit of a factor on Sunday for this football game, and it's a large game. I mean, there's no way around it. This is a large football game Sunday.
You know, all those things you mentioned, the weather, you know, who you play, where you're playing at, what time you play, they're all gray matter. You know, we got to go out there and do the things that we talk about, fast, smart, hard, consistent. If we can do those things, we can play with anybody in the National Football League, and we got to do those things this weekend.
Well, one more question from someone here at Raymond James Stadium. This is Logan from Lakeland, who is here watching the show tonight. Says your players are impressively motivated to lay it on the line for you week in and week out. Being captain of the ship, where do you draw motivation from? You kind of answered that in a couple of forms, but go ahead, Derek.
Well, you know, my motivation is on not disappointing my parents. You know, there's nothing better than coming out of a win and seeing their faces and having them have the ability to walk around and be proud of their son. And more importantly, you know, not disappointing my fan base either. You guys, man, you guys gave us strength last night. You guys provide a lot of stuff for us, and you guys don't even know it. You know, we're entertainers, and we understand that. And then we enjoy the entertainment, the aspect of it. And so you guys provide motivation for me, along with my parents and along with my peer groups, man. It's just a lot of fun to get that motivation from everybody.
And I think this is important to say one more time, because we're going to say it in different forms and fashions leading up to this Redskin game. There are four games remaining. Two of them are large ones at home after this one, and there are still things to play for. The P word could still come into play here. Everybody needs to still rally around what's going on here, Coach.
You know, the only thing I ever compete for is to go out there and win championships. And if you have a chance to go championship searching, that's what we're going to do. You know, I'm not going to let anybody put, you know, their own words or aspirations into what we should do and how we should do it. We're going to go out there and try to win a championship every single year. And when I'm not trying to do that, then I walk away.
Yeah, well, and so that's the goal, to go up there and get after the Washington Redskins, which will be happening later on in the week. Again, we encourage you, the fans, to get out here to Raymond James Stadium, to the West Club. It's not a bad setup, Coach, one more time, to come out here to the Holiday Store. Again, they've got the whole week to do it. You can come by tonight, come by later on in the week and see one of the players on their shows, and take advantage of an opportunity to be in the West Club here and check out the radio shows and the great sales and the cheerleaders and the whole bit. It's a blast.
We should do it here all the time, man. I love it. It's awesome.
I like that. He's putting that idea out there. That's pretty cool, though, for the holiday time right now, what the organization is doing, and we encourage everybody to come out and check it out one night this week. Well, listen, good luck this week against the Redskins. We'll be talking to you in the pregame show from Washington, D.C., coming up on Sunday on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Thank you for your time here tonight.
Thank you, guys, and I can't wait.
All right, give it up for the head coach there as Raheem Morris sits with us tonight. My thanks to Jeff Ryan, Jerry Petuck, also Jason Floyd here at Raymond James Stadium. Again, Dave Moore and Regis Benn are coming up next with Buccaneers Total Access. Stand by for that. We'll be on the air Sunday on the network at noon. 1 o'clock kick from Washington, D.C. Enormous game, Buccaneers and Redskins. We'll talk to you then on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
Been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.